Welcome to Community Conversations. These are pre-recorded interviews brought to you each Tuesday and Thursday at 8 a.m. on KRFY. Because of ongoing concerns about the COVID pandemic, we are not able to be in the studio doing live broadcast interviews right now. But we are still dedicated to recording and bringing to you topics of local and current interest, highlighting voices from our community. For Community Conversations, we are using phones and web-based technology so that participants can be recorded remotely. Please bear with us if there are any gaps or hiccups that might be caused by a slow or unstable phone or internet connection. Also, keep in mind that because these interviews are recorded, information may change between the time of this recording and the time that you hear it broadcast. Thank you for joining us for today's Community Conversation on KRFY 88.5 FM, listener-supported community radio for North Idaho. Good morning, and welcome to another Tuesday edition of Community Conversations as we march onward through winter towards spring. It's Phil Huff and Julie Calamine, your hosts today. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning, Phil. And marching on, we are marching right through February and still, as of the time of this recording, pretty snowless down in the Sandpoint Valley, aren't we?
It's pretty snowless, and we record these a few days ahead, and right now we're entering into a deep, bitter cold, which I hope we snap out of. As much as we've been lamenting the spring-like conditions and a desire for a little more winter weather, be careful what you ask for. I think there's probably a lot of things that are icing up, even if there isn't snow.
Yes, that's true, Phil. I've seen ice fishermen on Lake Kokolala today and lots of ice around our local lakes, one of which we're going to be talking about shortly. Phil, I am so missing snow that I forced myself to go up to the roundabout yesterday and Nordic ski. And I must say it was fun to get back into the snow for a few hours.
Yeah, that's a nice place. Another good place that I know has some snow, or at least did a couple days ago, is the Chipmunk Rapids National Recreation Area up just south of Priest Lake. They're a little higher. They had several feet of snow on the ground last weekend.
Neat. That would make a fun day trip for someone. Yeah. Well, Phil, for those of us who can't quite make it up to Chipmunk Rapids for the day, but might want to have an interesting semi-day trip, we have the perfect guests, don't we? Today, yes, we are joined by, once again, a guest who we've had before, but this is a new topic. We're going to be joined today by Round Lake State Park Manager Mary McGraw and State Park Ranger Bart Gutke. Hello, Mary, and hello, Bart.
Good morning, Julie. Good morning, Phil.
And we always love,
folks, thanks for having us.
We always love talking to you guys. There's so much that we can talk about at Round Lake. And a lot of times we've covered programs and all. And today we have a great opportunity to take a dive into some of the resources.
Yes, we do. Phil, why don't you describe what our main topic is for today? It's an interesting one we haven't really addressed.
Well, we started off with a desire to focus in on the beavers. And as we were, because they've been very active in this mild winter. And as it develops, we've also, I've gone out a couple times and chatted with Mary and Bart, and not only are the beavers active, of course, they're a member of the rodent family. So are the muskrats. We think there's some mink out there. And so it's really expanded a bit to, you know, what's going on, who's active and why, and tell us more about them. And before we get to the critters, though, let's do introduce our guests. You gave us the names and titles. We like to take a deeper dive into backgrounds for first-time listeners or those who might not know as much about really the people behind our state parks because they're so important. So, Mary, why don't we start with you and tell us about what you do at Round Lake and how you came to be there and why you love it so much.
Yeah, I've been here at Round Lake for about 24 years now. Most of it was at the ranger level, doing a lot of the groundwork and getting dirty. In the last 5 years, I've been the manager, which has been real exciting for me because I just like getting involved with a lot of the budgeting, a lot of the planning and stuff like that. Although with it being a small staff, there's a lot of opportunities to get out there and still get dirty. Mm-hmm.
And Bart, tell us, you've been at Round Lake a while too, and how long you've been there, what you do, and why you're so attracted to it.
I have. Thank you, Phil. I've been here for just under 4 years, and I was lucky enough to get the ranger position here as my favorite state park in Idaho. So I was very lucky to land this job. Thank you, Mary. What attracts me most to this job is our family-oriented park here. As a park ranger, I'm involved mostly in all the day-to-day activities, being compliance enforcement, janitorial duties, fixing things, working with the natural resources, really getting my boots on the ground and getting a lot of the physical work done. So for me, that's a lot of the fun of it. Of course, I love working with people and with the kids and families that come here to the park. That's probably my favorite.
Yeah, that's really great. And I'm a frequent visitor to Round Lake State Park, and I see both of you on a regular basis running around doing things in your little Cushman vehicle, zipping around, chainsawing. You're always up to something. Seems like a fun job. Well,
it is. Thank you.
Yes, yes. So we've titled today's talk "Woods and More," and we'll get to that in a moment. But I'll just start by saying that winter at the state park is definitely a quieter time, and we don't see really so many campers, not as many day visitors, and Round Lake is very much that way this time of the year. It's a quiet park now, and that is a benefit for those of us who visit. One of the additional benefits of this quieter time is that there might be more wildlife around that we wouldn't see when it's the busy time of the year. So let's focus on what's running around in the wintertime at Round Lake. And I think we'll start with the mustelids, because I know this is of high interest to Phil and the rest of us.
Yeah, we've had the pleasure of being able to see some mink in the area. I'm trying to think, it was probably about a month ago now, I was down at the dock and all of a sudden I turned around and looked, and all of a sudden this mink come running out from underneath the dock and run into the cattails and just took off. So it's not the first time I've seen mink in the park. As a matter of fact, I believe you said that you saw them this summer. So they're here year round. They're a little bit more elusive than some of the other animals, but they are really fun to see here in the park.
Yeah, I've been bandying about the word mustelid a time or two. Let's have a definition for listeners. What is a mustelid, and what animals make up that group?
Great question. A mustelid is basically the weasel family. That makes up weasels, of course, fishers, marten, mink, otters, badgers, and even wolverine are all in that family.
Okay, it's a bunch.
And there might be a bunch. And there's also the ones we will simply call weasels, long-tail weasels, great weasels, mm-hmm. lesser weasels. And they're kind of hard to see sometimes. A lot of those only come out at night. Tell us, have you observations or evidence of other members of the weasel family?
We have, like I said, we've seen the mink, and I have not seen a whole lot of weasels up here. They are native to this area, this part of the country. The pine marten is also pretty common here. You don't see it very often. Like you said, they're out mostly in the evening. At dark, they're hunting. The weasel family are carnivores for the most part. So they're eating the mice, the rodents. They're also feeding at around the lake shore. They feed on fish, frogs, snails, stuff like that. So I think we're just not seeing them so much because they are pretty elusive. They're pretty solitary. And they just aren't around when most people are up and about.
And one of my all-time favorite mustelids, if I have a favorite mustelid, would be the ermine, because of their color shift, their color change from white in the winter to brown in the summer. And I know they're in the general area, although not very often found.
That is correct. Yeah, they are in the area for sure. And they're much smaller. Like you said, they do turn in the wintertime, they turn white. Actually, an ermine is just the white version of a weasel. So yeah, they're out there year round, and they're very well camouflaged. They're white in the wintertime, and then they're brown and tan in the summertime. So they blend in really well.
Yeah, with that little black tail tip. I've seen them. I wonder about otters. Are they considered mustelids? Did we mention otters, and are they a mustelid?
Yes, they are.
Yep. Okay.
They are in that family.
Yeah. Have you ever seen otters out at the park?
We have not seen any river otters here at the park, although I do know that they are here in North Idaho. But we have not had them in the park that I know of.
Yes.
It would be a lot of fun to watch, though.
That would be great. I'd love to see one there. Maybe they're there at night.
They are fun. They are fun. I'll tell you, on a side note, if you like otter, upper Priest Lake, in that area,
is the go-to place for an otter sighting.
Yeah.
So I have seen one weasel at my house, Phil Marion Bart, and it was last spring. And he was poking around my woodshed because I was having a little bit of an invasion of ground squirrels. And he hung around for 3 or 4 days. And guess what? No more ground squirrels have appeared since. So I think there was a major dinner of ground squirrels because they are no longer in my neighborhood.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just relating to that story, when I lived over in Eastern Idaho in the high country in Island Park, we lived in an old cabin, and one day we were sitting in the cabin, and one day this weasel just ran through the building, and we're like, oh, that's kind of weird. And about 20 minutes later, he ran through again with a mouse hanging in his mouth. And we thought, oh, well, you can stick around a little bit and be our predator for us to keep the mice out. So, yeah, they are very, very predatory.
So part of the reason this topic comes up is because over this winter, it has felt more summer-like at times with the ice melting and holes forming or big openings. And I've noticed personally walking around the lake, a lot of activity out on the ice, more than in most winters because of this freeze-thaw. And in looking at them, I'm pretty sure at least at first what I saw or some of what I saw were beavers. And it just is so unusual to see beavers in wintertime, or seem to be. That triggered this interest. And so take us a little further. You two are resident there at Round Lake and certainly get out more than most of us. What have you seen out on the ice? Are they beavers? Are there also other critters? And what are they doing?
Yeah, we've had an interesting winter so far, with the ice forming and then melting and reforming. We've seen more activity on the ice than we have in the past. We kept seeing these animals out there and reports of these animals sitting out there and what are they doing? So we went out and looked, and we've seen evidence that beaver were in the area. We've seen where they've cut down the trees, and you can see the chips there and the chews on the trunk of the tree. And then, so we thought, oh, well, we're going to get a better look. We're going to take our camera with our 200 millimeter lens, and we should be able to see better what they are, because they were pretty far out at that time. And what we discovered was that there were muskrat sitting out on the lake, diving into the water, going down, bringing up a mouthful of vegetation from the bottom, and then sitting on the ice and eating it. And there was a whole family out there doing it. So they would be out there playing and diving and eating, and they would do this all day long. But I think there were both out there. I think there were beaver as well as muskrat. The muskrats were just much smaller. Beaver are generally a little bit bigger. And the telltale sign, of course, was the tail of the animal. The muskrats have the more roundish, rat-like tail, whereas the beaver will have that flat tail. Yeah, so I believe there were both out there.
I'm pretty sure, because after we had that first conversation, we went back out and stood around for a while with some nice big binoculars. And there were a couple that I'm pretty sure were beavers from when they were living in almost a slight tail slap. And then there were some with a short little stubby tail that were smaller that probably were the muskrats. But in either case, there were over time, there were small piles of the uneaten vegetation they had drug up, the green stuff. And you know, back to the original, the mustelids are carnivores. Now, tell us more, but beaver and muskrat fall into the rodent family, and they're more herbivores.
Exactly. Yes, the mink, and you know, they're more of a carnivore, whereas the beaver are eating more twigs and branches. The muskrat eat vegetation from the bottom of the lake. They eat the grasses, the sedges, and stuff like that. We also did find a small muskrat lodge that we believe that the family was living there. And they were concentrating most of their activity on the outlet side of the lake, the west side of the lake, which is where the lodge was. So it was a perfect opportunity for them to stay close to home and get out and get some vegetation, get some good dining in, and hang out on the ice. They were very fun to watch.
So what happened to hibernating in the winter? Do these critters really just not go into a true hibernation? Or were they lulled into coming out of it because of the mild temperatures?
Beaver and muskrat do not hibernate in the wintertime. When they are in the lodge, they are very active. They're giving birth to their young in the wintertime. And what's most interesting is that you can find muskrat and beaver sharing a lodge. They will actually lodge together. And the purpose of that is to stay warm when it gets really cold. The heat from the bodies will heat the inside of the lodge and keep them both warm. And they're not competitive to each other because they eat different things. So they can coexist in the lodge, get the benefit of that, but still not be in competition for the same food source.
Interesting. I did not know that.
No.
The other thing that appears to be beaver activity that I've seen out there looks like beavers attempt to create a little dam at the lake's outlet. Is that true, Bart? Is that happening?
That is happening. We see that from time to time. We actually went searching for a beaver lodge this fall, and we haven't had much luck. We're still looking out for that, but we do see a lot of evidence of their activity around the stream banks. Lots of those alder and things that have been chewed off. You know, of course, they're using those for their dams, their lodges, or for their food. They'll cache that for when the snow really comes in and things. So they're definitely around, and they're changing their environment to suit their needs for sure.
I've noticed down at the outlet stream, there's a series of small beaver dams, most of them older. But some showing signs of recent work. And what has been called a beaver slide in various places, including one at the lake that's really prominent and a couple down along the stream where they're literally bringing in fairly large building material and they've created a rutted pathway, almost think like many, many years of many hikers. And the beaver have created those, and there's some obvious ones there.
Like a beaver logging road almost.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So I have a question about park management and an animal like the beaver. We know that they're a delight to see, but they also can cause a little bit of trouble if they're chewing down all the beautiful trees in the park. How do you manage for beaver? Is it needed?
For the most part, we try and let them do their thing as long as they are not causing any impact on our trails or, you know, facilities. A lot of times what happens, I've noticed over the years, is the beaver will build the dams and block up the creek. And then in the springtime, we'll have a big snow year and a lot of runoff, a lot of fast runoff. And it will pretty much wash away a lot of the damming areas or the high parts of it. So it doesn't impede the total flow of the creek, which which is, you know, we don't want it backing up and causing issues that way. And then the beaver just kind of worked their way through that. It's been a long time since we've had to do anything. Sometimes we'll go in and we'll pull the beaver dam out and we'll go back and forth with the beaver. He'll dam it back up, we'll pull it out. But a lot of times there's a lot of places that they can build their dams. So they might move a little further downstream or maybe to the inlet creek or something like that. But if we have to, if it persists, we'll get a trapper in and try and relocate them. But we haven't had to do that in the 24 years that I've been here.
Okay.
They're such neat animals, but they're not the only ones that are out there, and they're not the only ones that have maybe altered their behavior some this winter because of the ice or lack of ice. Let's talk about eagles and how this winter may be the same or different, but the eagles that are present there at Round Lake.
Okay, I'm happy to go on to eagles, but I first have to interject with a listener question for you too, and then we'll move on to eagles, guys. And this is a tough one, and the question is, what is meaner, a weasel or a rat? We've got muskrats and we've got weasels out there. You're going to have to tell us.
I would say it probably did depend on the individual weasel or rat, and it would depend on the circumstance in which you met them. My guess is probably a weasel. The only reason I say that is because, you know, we constantly replace the dock boards on both of our docks throughout the year as they just wear time and again. And about two summers ago, I was replacing dock boards on the left-hand dock. And as I was tearing up the old boards, I found a muskrat nest. They were nesting right under the dock. And we pulled up the boards and there was a mom there, and there was three or four little kits in there with her and things. And at first I was a little alarmed. I didn't know what was going to happen, but they were pretty docile. I think they were in shock, you know, and they just kind of let us do our thing. But they didn't bother us, and we finished with our dock boards as quietly as can be, and they were fine with that. So the fact that I didn't get attacked that day makes me think that they're probably a little more docile than the weasels.
I think Doug Chadwick, who renowned wildlife biologist who worked with some of the volunteer groups on the multi-species baseline stuff, the rare forest carnivore study a few years ago, described the marten as pound for pound probably the fiercest animal you'll ever see. The little tiny pine marten, much bigger than a squirrel, who feeds on squirrels and would just as gladly rip your face off. And he's in the mustelid family. And then just one size up is the fisher, who will actually prey on porcupine. You have to have a lot of audacity there. And then the wolverine, related to the honey badger. And probably everybody has seen the video of the honey badger. So it's a fierce family that's got a well-deserved reputation, I think.
I guess we've got consensus. The meanie would be the weasel. All right, I'll check that off my list.
Yeah.
All right, back to eagles. What's happening with the eagles out of the park?
We have been seeing quite a few eagles. They've been, when the ice was not totally frozen over, there were eagles on the ice quite often. I assume they were feeding off of fish because they could actually get into, you know, the water to hunt them. And then they'd sit on the ice and actually eat the fish. Over the last probably 5 years, we've seen more eagles out here, more so in the wintertime, when the eagles are more prevalent in this area, when they're feeding out on Lake Ponderay and going down to Lake Coeur d'Alene. I think they're also coming over here. And we actually have had a pair of eagles that have kind of taken up residence. They're actually here year round. I have not seen exactly where they're nesting. They're nesting somewhere close by, but they do very often roost in our trees right above our amphitheater. They hunt in the lake in the summertime, in the spring. Actually, they do a lot of fish, I don't know what you want to call it, stealing from the osprey. So it becomes a game for them. And a lot of times it's so much fun to go out there and see them in the mornings hunting fish and chasing each other around and stuff like that. So we have seen more eagles over the last couple of years, which is great. I love to see the eagles. We hear them very often, and they're roosting in a lot of our trees just above the lake. In the wintertime, I've also seen them feeding in the outlet creek, the Kokolala Creek, heading down towards Lake Ponderay. Obviously, the creek is not freezing over, so they do have access to that area for fishing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a unique draw. So it seems like maybe more of them this winter?
I think we have seen more of them. They've been more obvious, I think, because the lake is not frozen. They're in the view of where, we are mostly, where we're looking at the lake and seeing the lake. But I think it's because the lake has not been frozen that we're seeing them more.
That makes sense. Now, I think the last time I was out there, or maybe two times ago, it was getting late in the afternoon and dusk was setting in. And I'm 90% sure we heard an owl coming back around the Swamp Tromp area, at least something that was very owl-like. Have you had a chance to figure out what owls you have in the area?
We have seen numerous owls in the park, mostly barred owls. There are some great horned owls in the area, and it's been quite a while ago. I did see one great gray owl in the area. It's real common, especially in the spring when they're mating, that you see the owls or hear the owls more so than see them. But on the east side of the lake, they must have a nest back there, because in the springtime when they have their young out, they are constantly attacking, or not attacking, but letting hikers know that this is their area. They'll dive bomb them and try and protect their area, especially when they have the young. So it's not uncommon to see owls, and it's not uncommon to hear them. And it's pretty amazing when we do get to see and hear them.
And I've also, as I've been walking through the park, and like you say, especially on the east end, in the forest there, I've seen quite a few owl pellets as well. So while I might not see the owls themselves, I do see the evidence of them around.
Okay, and that leads me to the next question that I've got for you, Bart. You are out and about in the park as the ranger, and we've just said you might not see every animal, but we do see signs of what's living in the area, and maybe you could share with us the tracks, the scat, other evidence you've been seeing of animals we have or haven't yet talked about.
Wonderful. One of the most prevalent tracks and scat that we probably see is white-tailed deer. We see a lot of deer track and a lot of their scat, the small round pellets all up in a bunch. That's pretty indicative of the white-tailed deer. I've seen quite a few snowshoe hare tracks as well. They, of course, have the bigger rear paws than they do the front paws. And they'll run kind of where their back feet will overlap their front feet, kind of a track. It's pretty distinct. They also make pellets as the deer, but quite smaller and a little more round. The deer will be a little more oblong. As far as the mustelids, they are a five-toed species, and they do have their claws that do not retract as well. So they're pretty identifiable as well. They will kind of look like a canine track, but quite a bit smaller. Speaking of canine tracks, I've seen some coyote tracks around. And just behind the park, as you're going up the mountain this winter, I have found some mountain lion tracks as well. Those are pretty easy to identify, as they're so big. They have the four toes, and as they're a feline species, they can retract their claws, so you will not see the claw marks in the snow. Other rodents and things, I've seen some grouse tracks with the little three-pronged, their little furry feet through the snow, and lots of little mice, voles, and squirrel tracks. So if you come out to the park on a day right after a nice fresh snow and take a walk, and you could just fill your day looking at all the evidence and signs of the animals around.
Did I hear you mention, or did I not hear you mention moose? It just seems like there ought to be moose.
You know, There are moose around for sure. We've seen them from time to time. I haven't seen any real identifiable moose track this fall. The fact that there's hardly any snow might lead to that. They might be a little bit higher in elevation.
Yeah.
A lot of times those ungulates will stay up high until the snow forces them down lower. And of course, this year so far, we haven't had a lot of that here. So they might be a little bit higher on the mountain.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think I've noticed any this winter, but I have in winters past. And mm-hmm. we just, Julie and I recently did a show with someone from Fish and Game talking about the decline in moose populations too. So there could be some of that going on in there.
That's always true. We could be on a kind of a downslope. It's hard to say.
The other thing I think that I've seen in years past, but I've not noticed recently, is bobcat.
We have had bobcat in the area. What was it, 2 years ago? We were seeing one on a fairly regular basis down by Swamp. But yeah, they definitely are also in the area, and they are not seen very often, you know, for a lot of reasons. They're pretty seclusive, just solitary. Yeah, they're a fun animal to see also.
Gorgeous. Yeah.
You know, an animal that I used to see relatively frequently in Minnesota, but I don't think I've seen a single one here, is a porcupine. Are there porcupines in Round Lake?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we don't see them very often. Usually, you don't see porcupines very often. A lot of times, they're during the day, they're up in trees, in the pine trees. They look, you know, it's hard to see them because they blend in so well. Usually you see the evidence of them have chewing on stuff on the bark. They feed on the bark and the cambium underneath the bark. So a lot of times what they do is they're chewing on the tree. They're moving from tree to tree. But yeah, we do see porcupines occasionally in the park, not real often. And their population kind of varies up and down also. We haven't seen a ton of them lately. Probably 5 or 6 years ago, we saw them more often. So they might be, you know, on their on their downswing right now.
Yeah, they do go in big cycles. And how about raccoons?
Yes, we do have raccoons in the park. And I think, once again, they have not been real prevalent this year. It's been a number of years since I've actually seen one. We do see evidence of them. We see droppings. We see... you know, in the summertime, we have campers that say, oh, there was something in our campsite. We don't know if it was a squirrel or what it was. And a lot of times at night, they'll come down out of the trees and see what the campers may have brought them for dinner. So,
and, you know, one important species that we haven't even touched on and I'm interested to know about is the black bear. I don't see a lot of bear-proof canisters at Round Lake, and I've never heard you talk about a bear in the park. Does it ever happen?
It has happened. It's not very common. This year especially, you know, early 2020, we were closed for a couple months, both for our terrible windstorm and from COVID, of course. And during that time, there was a little cinnamon bear that was spotted, I believe, 3 times on the east side. I think the absence of people and all those campers kind of, you know, that lends the park to be a little bit more habitable for the bears and things. Of course, once we opened, we didn't see the signs of him anymore. I think he moved on. But he was spotted 2 or 3 times on the east side. And then another a really nice big black bear was spotted on the west side of the park toward the dam bridge by a visitor. He said he was fishing and he saw the bear, and the bear was just looking for grubs in the log, doing his bear thing. So they're definitely around. They hang out, but they usually don't give us issues. I think we just have so many visitors here in the park, you know, so many dogs on the trail with their human owners and things, that although they're around and they're close, I think they just steer clear and do their bear thing in the woods.
Yeah, it's interesting because there's definitely food around and campers, and I smell bacon when I'm walking sometimes. And I often think, boy, there just don't seem to be bear problems. So that's great to hear.
Just enough.
I think they have enough wild food and things around that they just don't, they don't have to come into the park. to look for that human food and things. I think
and, we've got a lot of enough neighbors too that it might filter out the problem bears.
This is
so
true.
So one of the things that's at the base of all this, and we'd be remiss, I know Julie would feel remiss if we didn't talk about the fish that are in Round Lake that some of these critters depend on, and certainly that draw the ice fishermen out now that the ice is getting firmer. Talk to us about the fishery that's there.
Round Lake is a designated family-friendly fishing lake, so it is stocked at a fishing game at least two times, sometimes three times a year, and that's going to be mainly rainbow trout. So when you come fish at Round Lake, you're mostly going to catch rainbow trout. However, because we are fed from Kokalala Creek, which of course is fed from Kokalala Lake, we do see an abundance of brook trout in mostly in the creeks, in the inlet and the outlet. There have been brown trout caught in the lake as well. And then we've got an abundance of warm water species as well. Smallmouth bass, bluegill, crappie, and channelhead catfish. So no matter what your pleasure, we might have it here at Round Lake. There's quite a variety.
Yeah, I wonder if the catfish have come down from Kokalala, because I know they were stocked in that lake. So I'm guessing.
I'll bet you they have. Yeah.
Interesting. So what other, are there any other interesting animals or and or birds of winter that we might hope to see if we took a walk around the lake?
Not a whole lot of birds. Like we have talked about, we've seen the eagles. There are, you know, of course, the woodpeckers that are out there. And just a lot of, you know, some of the songbirds. The other day I saw a post on Facebook where somebody had taken a very nice picture of a kingfisher, which is a lot of fun to see. I see them a lot of times down at the dam area in that slack water. They're down there. But as far as birds, that's pretty much what we see in the wintertime. You know, as spring comes on, we're going to get some more of the migrating birds and a lot of the birds coming back, of course, the osprey and some of the songbirds and stuff like that. So there's not a whole lot of food out there right now for them, unless they're feeding on fish or, you know, something like that. So not a whole lot of birds coming in right now. Trying to think of what else, mostly like you said, deer, the wild turkeys come through here every day. Mm-hmm. You know, the squirrels are out there. You know, a lot of the small stuff that's always fun to see, just to hear them chitter chattering and carrying on with their lives.
I agree. I have one bird to add to your potential list for folks that come out, and it's the American Dipper, also known as the water ouzel. And where I've seen that is also at the dam on the downstream side. I see those little guys jumping into the water and out. That's a fun bird, so folks might look for that one.
Yeah. And there's a few different members of the larger duck family, if we could call it that, that like to habitate the creek, that outlet, the dam area, because the water keeps flowing through. And I know you've got some boxes up for wood ducks there, although it's been a long time since I recall seeing a wood duck in the area.
Yeah, we have the boxes up, and I have not seen a wood duck in a long time. There were some ducks out the other day. I think they were the golden eyes, but yeah, you know, as the water opens up, we're going to get a few more of the duck species. Yeah. Of course, the geese are out there also.
Yeah, it's always an interesting area to watch the change of the seasons, and as we kind of come close down, let's do talk about springtime is coming up. Despite the super cold temperatures right now, it's not that far away, and along with that, we'll bring some gradually phased in reopening of park facilities and guests who are going to come and camp and fish. And tell us about the upcoming season. How do you see this year being different from last? Are there going to be continued restrictions because of COVID? What kind of programs do you look forward to starting to offer in the spring and summer?
Yeah, we're hoping to, surprisingly, we've probably had more campers this winter than we have in the years past, just because of the mild weather. And because of the COVID, people just wanting to get out and get some fresh air. Last couple of weeks, we haven't had any campers, but as we start opening up, especially if we don't get any substantial amounts of snow, campers, I believe, will start coming in earlier this spring. Day users, we on the weekends when it's nice out, our parking lots are full. So we're keeping busy this year, even though we haven't had the ice fishermen and a lot of the winter activities going on. The fat air guys are out here riding their bikes and stuff like that. But as we start opening up, we're going to see more animals, a lot of, like I said, the migratory birds coming through, a lot of some of the animals coming out of hibernation. And that's always fun to see, get out there and get in the sunshine. Activity-wise, we are hoping that the COVID will start subsiding with the vaccines out there. And we are planning on getting a lot of our activities going again, a lot of our interpretive programs, our backpack loaner program where kids can come in and check out a backpack and go out and discover the park at their own pace with their parents. And our, of course, our boat rentals and stuff like that as we get into summer also. We're hoping to be able to get that type of activity back in the park and being able to move forward on that.
Sure. Well, there will be a lot going on. I had forgotten to ask you this earlier, but in the presence of COVID and winter hours, are visitors able to come into your office and look at your displays, or is that tough to do?
Yeah, it's been pretty difficult. We don't have regular visitor center hours this time of year, mostly because we're doing some training. We're doing a lot of work up at the shop, redoing and revarnishing our picnic tables, getting those ready for the season, doing some slash burning. We're continuing with, we have a volunteer in doing some resource work, getting some of our along our trails, getting that cleaned up so that we get better view sheds so that we can see the lake from the trails. We can get the brush down on the ground so that it'll deteriorate and decay a lot faster than if it was up in the air. So Bart's been working with Tim on that. So we've been doing a little bit more resource activity, more resource work, as well as some planning and repairing of things that broke last year. So yeah, it's hard to get them into the visitor center to see that. So we generally open that in about the middle of May when we start getting some staff in here.
Well, what have we not covered? I think we've got the full sense of what's happening now, and come springtime when we can look at summer and talk about programs, we'll have to have you back on because there's always so many things going on out at Round Lake.
It's always fun to visit with you guys, and I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks so much for having us.
Yes. Well, I want to thank Mary McGraw, park manager of Round Lake State Park, and also Ranger Bart Gutke of Round Lake State Park for joining us today. This has been the KRFY Community Conversations with me, Julie Calamine, and Phil Huff. Thank you, listeners, for joining us.
Well, this wraps up another Community Conversation. Thanks for tuning in to KRFY 88.5 FM, listener-supported community radio for North Idaho and beyond. All of our programs can be heard live streaming on the web at krfy.org, and all of our Community Conversation shows are later posted as podcasts and available on our website. KRFY strives to bring our community important local information. Even as vaccinations roll out, impacts from the COVID-19 pandemic remain at significant levels across our country, our county, our state, and our region. It is recommended we all follow the Panhandle Health District and government guidelines. Please wear a mask in public, especially inside buildings and businesses. Keep a 6-foot distance apart, wash up, and stay at home as much as possible. And stay home if you are sick. If we all help each other, we can get through this together. So let's be good neighbors and friends and protect each other. Before we close, we have a new feature here at KRFY. If you'd like to find out more information about the song you just heard, you can go to our webpage or our Facebook page. Once there, find the playlist link, and then you can see the name of the song and the artist who performed it. Stay safe, and thanks for listening.